ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
And we need to crucify the flesh, not entertain it or feed it or play with it, but crucify it. In Romans 8, verses 5 through 8, Paul did this comparison. So for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Now, yes, we as Christians can be carnally minded, and we have to be careful. Are we feeding the spirit or the flesh? Because whatever you're feeding is going to control your life. Paul specifically here in Romans 8 is speaking of those who are carnally minded as being the unsaved. And it's their body appetites, the lust of the flesh, that is controlling their lives. One author said, these people are completely consumed and dominated in their thinking by the things that gratify their fleshly desires. There's no desire or thought of future rewards or future glory. They live for the moment and for the pleasure they can get now. They are hedonists and materialists who have no desire for spiritual things except to give God lip service at the appropriate times. On the other end of the spectrum, those that are saved are spiritually minded, focused on the things of God, and the fruit of the Spirit should flow from our lives. But, again, as Christians, there is this battle that's going on. Or the flesh tries to control our lives. And we have to allow the Spirit to do that. And I think as we go through difficult times, it gets a lot easier to move away from God. We isolate ourselves. We don't go to church. We don't read the Bible. We don't fellowship with other believers. We just live by ourselves. And the devil has you just right where he wants you. We have to be careful. We are all going to go through storms in life if we're not going through them right now. It's going to happen. One of the things we have to remember is this is the worst it gets for us as Christians. Okay? So our focus, and please don't get me wrong here, I'm not putting down some of the things some of you people are going through or some of the things that I'm going through or anything like that. I'm not saying they're bad. What I'm saying is what the unsaved are going to go through in eternity apart from Christ is far worse than anything we will ever go through. So this is why I can take the focus off of myself. So you know what? I care about the lost. I know where I'm going. And this is horrible right now, but I want them to see my faith is real. That I truly trust God that no matter what happens in this situation, and it may not turn out the way that I want, and it usually doesn't, because I usually take the easy way out, and God says, I got something better, but I can trust in him, because the Lord will see me through. In family situations, in health situations, think about health situations. What if I have cancer? And what if I'm not healed by God? What if I'm going to die? Did God mess up? No. Because absent from the body is present with the Lord. And here's the guarantee. We're all going to die. I know that's a real uplifting message, but it's just a reality, right? How many people do you know live forever? No one's raising their hand. Why? Because everybody dies. Understanding that, and that's what Paul said. That's the way Paul felt. You know, to be absent from the body, you have to be present with the Lord. I'd rather be with the Lord. But you know what? Paul said in Philippians, you know, you guys need me more. So I think the Lord's going to keep me for a while before he takes me home so I can minister to you. And that's the way we should feel. Hey, I'm here today. I got another day. And God has left me here so I can minister to those around me. Let me be used to the fullest. You see, perspective is everything, guys. And if we don't crucify the flesh will get the better of us. There is no doubt about it. Why? Because Satan wants to trap you. He's in the business of trapping people and capturing them. Look at what he did to the children of Israel. 20 years in captivity, in bondage, being persecuted, heavy persecution. And yet, they finally cried out to the Lord. I mean, what does it take us to cry out to the Lord and ask for his help? Crucify the flesh, put it to death, don't let it rise up. And again, the best way to do this is to spend time in God's word, to pray, to be in fellowship with other believers, because it really helps. I can't tell you over the years the number of times I've been going through some horrible, horrible things that God doesn't bring someone around alongside of me, usually my wife, but many times it's many of you, to encourage me. And it just kind of stirs, it gets you refocused. You know, remember the commercial? Should have had a V8? Oh, yeah. Lord, I'm sorry I forgot about you. I edited you out of the picture, and putting you back in gives me a whole new perspective of what I'm going through. If it had not been the Lord, I would be destroyed. I would have no future, no hope. But I have the Lord. And I see what the Lord has done in the past. I see what he's doing in the present. I know what he's going to do down the road because he's always with me. He's always with you. So I don't care what you're going through. It could be horrendous right now, but he's with you and he's seeing you through it. And don't give up. I mean, for Barak and the children of Israel, they could have thrown their hands up in the air and said, oy vey, what's the use, right? How are we going to win this battle? There is no way. It's humanly impossible. But the Lord never told Barak or Deborah that you were going to win this battle. He said, I have won this battle for you. You just need to walk by faith. And that's what the Lord tells us. Okay, I'm guiding you. Take those steps of faith. See the victory that I want to give you in this situation. And God is an amazing thing. He does amazing, amazing work. Crucify the flesh, put it to death. Paul in Romans 6, verses 11 through 14, said, likewise you also, reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lust. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. Put this into your account. That's what the word reckon means, by faith, that we're dead to sin, we're alive in Christ. Yeah, we still have these bodies of flesh. And the flesh nature tries to resurrect itself and control our lives. But by faith, I'm going to walk and trust that that old life was put to death. And one day, I'll have this new body where sin will not dwell at all. But don't present your body to the service of sin. I like the way the New Living Translation puts Romans 6, verses 13 and 14. Do not let sin control the way you live. Do not give in to its lustful desires. Do not let any part of your body become a tool of wickedness to be used for sinning. Instead, give yourselves completely to God since you have been given new life. And use your whole body as a tool to do what is right for the glory of God. Wow. That's what we're to do. Use our whole lives as a tool for the glory of God, doing what's right. And isn't it hard? I don't know about you, but I feel that the pull to wickedness is so strong today. Everywhere you turn. I mean, I don't know. Joni was just telling me about how at the library they're starting a club for homosexuals. At the library. Really? Here in Manitowoc? Yeah. This is not in some big city. It's here. The pull is tremendous. And the church, I'm sorry to say, because the pull is so strong, many churches are being pulled away from the things of God. And they're following the ways of the world. They haven't crucified the flesh. They're succumbing to it. I mean, that's really my study at the prophecy conference in Arizona. Is how did all this start, this movement away from the Word of God? In Genesis chapter 3, where Satan said to Eve, "Has God indeed said?" And now we see it today, all over the place. Oh, God didn't really mean that. That was for a different period of time. It's the same lie. He hasn't changed in 6,000 years, nor does he need to, because we still buy into it. The flesh needs to be crucified. We need to follow what the Lord is telling us. That's what Jael did. She nailed the flesh to the floor, or Sisera to the floor, and we have to crucify the flesh. It's just the way it is. We're in a battle, and the enemy wants to destroy our witness. He can't destroy our salvation, but he could destroy our witness. Will we let him? You know, years ago, there was a church down the road that had a meeting to discuss, you know, should we accept homosexuality into the church? Should they be part? Should they be able to be pastors and leaders within the church? I'm thinking, you're having a meeting for that? Okay, forgive me on this one. But for me, here's the meeting. No, that should not be allowed. God said it's a sin. We're done. Let's go eat. There's no discussion. It's not something you can discuss. There are things you could talk about, the rapture of the church. You could talk about, you know, different things about that. But when it comes to sin, you don't debate it. You crucify that flesh nature. What is there to debate? But we do today. Why? Because the world is pulling us. Instead of, and I shouldn't say pulling us. The world is driving us in this direction. But the Lord is leading us in righteousness. And who do you want to follow? Do you want to be driven or do you want to be led by the Good Shepherd? You see, I'll tell you, as you start following or being driven by the world, it's going to lead to disaster. When you start being led by the Lord, it may not be easy, but boy, there's tremendous blessings in that. Never forget it. Look at verse 22, Judges 4. And then as Barak pursued Sisera, Jael came out to meet him and said to him, "Come, I will show you the man whom you seek." And when he went into her tent, there lay Sisera dead with the peg in his temple. This is a woman gets the blessing. Keep in mind, Sisera was on the run. Barak's hunting him down. And Jael comes out to meet Barak. And she knows where he's at, where Sisera's at. And she shows Barak, here he is. And it's just what Deborah said. There will be no glory for you in the journey you are taking, for the Lord will sell Sisera into the hand of a woman. He refused to walk by faith, to be the spiritual man that God wanted him to be. God blessed not only Deborah, but Jael, and Barak was left out. Now here's where people struggle, because in the New Testament, in the section of the Great Hall of Faith in Hebrews chapter 11, this is what we're told in verse 32. And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Japheth, also of David and Samuel and the prophets. Well, he's listed Barak in the Hall of Faith. How could that be? This guy lacked faith. Well, let me ask you another question. When you look at men like Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, Samson, Japheth, even Gideon, were they always men of faith? In everything they did, were they faithful? I mean, you read the story of Samson, you go, how is he even listed in here? There's many times these guys didn't walk by faith, but by sight. If that's true, and it is, then why don't we see their failures mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11? Because it's the hall of faith, not the hall of failure. And God is so, so gracious and merciful, right? And he sees our faith. He doesn't see our failures. Because every one of those guys, you could point to their failures. Even Moses, right? Many times. And he's a great man of faith. That's why they're in there. Not because they were perfect men. Not because they didn't fail at times and walk by faith. But God sees their faith and the things that they did do and succeed. And that's what God does with us. You know, he doesn't look at our failures, he looks at our faith. And for Barak, he lost out because he was unwilling to walk by faith. He didn't get the glory. But again, God is pretty gracious and merciful, huh? When God calls us to take a step of faith, we need to go forward because we can lose out on blessings. And God will use someone else and they'll get the blessing. It's really as simple as that. You know, are we willing to get out of our comfort zone as God is calling us and take those steps of faith? And that's usually the case. You know, if we're called to do something that we're comfortable with, we're pretty much going to say, sure, I've done it before. I could do it again. It's not a big deal. It's usually not how God works. God usually calls you to do something that you're not comfortable with, that is going to stretch you, that may be pretty difficult. He says, okay, now I want you to walk. Can you trust me on this one? And I guarantee you, as difficult as the things you may go through, there is a blessing in it. I don't always see it. You know, I could tell you, you know, I've had diabetes for 31 years, and I can honestly say I hate it. It is the most frustrating thing because I'm a guy who likes everything in order. And my blood sugars are not ever in order, you know, hardly. The insulin pump's working better, but I'm kind of a perfectionist. And it's really, Lord's teaching me that I'm going to have to trust in him. It's not going to always work out the way that I want. And can I accept that? Can I continue to walk by faith and trust in him? There's always challenges that God puts forth. Otherwise, our faith gets stagnant. I think of athletes. You know, athletes who have really good seasons, many times they get their big contracts, and then what happens the next season? Nothing. Why? Because they didn't push forward. Because I guarantee you, if you are a top guy, there is someone who's coming after you. I was just reading this morning, this guy just ran a 5 kilometer, 3.1 miles, and it was 12 minutes and 51 seconds. Like, oh my gosh, he could have run twice as far as me and still beat me almost. But I guarantee you, if he doesn't push himself, someone's going to come up behind him and take him. And that's really for us as Christians, we got to keep pushing forward because the enemy is kind of coming after us to trip us up, to trap us. So you keep moving forward. You keep your eyes on the Lord. So important. Well, let's finish up verse 23 and 24 of Judges 4. So on that day, God subdued Jabin, king of Canaan, in the presence of the children of Israel. And the hand of the children of Israel grew stronger and stronger against Jabin, king of Canaan, until they had destroyed Jabin, king of Canaan. Here we see the power behind King Jabin. Obviously, was the commander of his army, Sisera. Sisera is gone. His army is decimated. He has no power. And Israel rises up, defeats the king who had oppressed him for 20 years. Now, the big question is, as you read this, who won the battle? It wasn't Barak, it wasn't Jael, it wasn't even Deborah. Verse 23 says, so on that day, God subdued Jabin, king of Canaan, in the presence of the children of Israel. And that's our last point, God's promise fulfilled. Remember what we read in verses 6 and 7 of Judges chapter 4. Has not the Lord God of Israel commanded, go and deploy troops at Mount Tabor? Take with you 10,000 men of the sons of Naphtali and of the sons of Zebulun, and against you I will deploy Sisera, the commander of Jabin's army, with his chariots and his multitude at the river Kishon, and I will deliver him into your hand. In verse 14, Deborah said, "Up, for this is the day in which the Lord has delivered Sisera into your hand. Has not the Lord gone out before you?" You see, God told them he would give them this victory, and that's exactly what he did. As God told us he would give us victory over the flesh, yes, he did. Let's trust in him. Let's walk by faith. Let's obey what he's telling us, because he has what's best for our lives. The children of Israel were obviously involved in this battle, but the battle belonged to the Lord, and that's the key. We have to listen to what God is telling us, and then we have to take the step of faith and do what God is calling us to do. And we see those victories. But again, the flesh has to be crucified, and we can't accomplish it on our own efforts. And that's some of the problem today. You know, all the Christian self-help books. You know, just do this. You know, do that. You got to try harder. Be stronger. Be better. No, you've negated the power. The power is the Holy Spirit working in you, giving you the ability to accomplish the things that God wants you to accomplish. Because we can't do it on our own. If you think about it, if it were true that we could do it on our own, then you don't even need to be a Christian to be good. But we can't. Surrender to the Lord. Allow him to work in your life. I read this story. I thought it was kind of interesting. When the first cable of the suspension bridge that spans the Niagara was about to be laid, a thin thread was attached to a kite and both sent on a favoring wind to the other side of the river. Can you believe that? That's how they were doing it? A little thread on these kites sent them over. By means of that thread, though, a heavier string was pulled across, and by it a heavier one still, and then a rope, and then a tow, and then the cable, and the other parts of that mighty bridge that enables the people to pass in safety from one side to the other over the roaring torrent beneath. Maybe we doubt or disbelieve in our faith. Maybe it's just a tiny thread. But I'll tell you what, it can grow stronger and stronger as you walk. Doesn't it encourage you? When God calls you to do something, you take that step and you see what God is doing, and it just encourages you to do more. You know, that's how it is with, even with me running. I love to compete. And I always want to, I'm sorry, forgive me, I like to beat people. Okay? It's called competition. I just like it. And so that's always my incentive. And I think with God, he encourages us like that also in terms of, as we take those steps, as we follow him, he gives us that encouragement. You did it. Take another step. It's kind of like a little kid walking, right? Learning to walk. We loved to, when my kids were younger, and to see them walk, it was so much fun. You know, they kind of waddle, you know, it was almost like a Frankenstein walk. But they would take two steps and fall over, right? And you were cheering them, you were encouraging them. I think that's what God does with us. You know, we take a couple steps. Oh, he tripped up. God's like, good job. Get up. Here's my hand. Let's go. Do it again. And that's what we do with our kids, and that's what God does with us. Take one step at a time. We tend to look so far in the future, but what about this, and what about that, and what about one step? Let's see this victory. Then we'll take another step. And another step, and another step. Because our good shepherd is going to lead us all the way, and that's how our faith is going to grow. But you have to take those steps of faith. As the title says, it's from faith to victory. A step at a time. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this wonderful story, Lord, of the children of Israel, and just their steps of faith, trusting you and seeing the victory you gave them. And Lord, how we too must crucify that flesh, or it'll control our lives, and it'll keep us in bondage, and it'll never let go. And we have to surrender to you each and every day. Help us, Lord. Empower us by your Spirit to live those lives you want us to live. And Lord, help us to take those steps of faith, because we can't do it on our own. We try and try way too often to do that, and we fail and fail and fail. We need your Spirit. We need you to empower us to live the kind of lives you want us to live. And then just take those steps of faith, trusting in you each and every day. I pray for everyone here this morning, Lord, and those listening on the radio, the internet. Father, anyone who's struggling with this issue of faith and just trusting in you and taking those steps, Lord, encourage them. May they see your hand reaching out to them, guiding them, leading them each and every day. We thank you, Lord, and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word?
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin, 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.